Good morning, church. It's a great joy to see you once again. Please turn to Matthew chapter number 11 as we continue where we left off last week. Matthew chapter 11. We read together from verse 7 to verse 15. I was tempted to title the message, John the Greatest Baptist, but I realized some were not Baptist might be offended. But that word Baptist, I use it as John the Greatest Believer. So, for that sake, I will say then the title of the message, Jesus' Verdict on John the Baptist. Let's read together from verse 7 to verse 15. And the word of God reads as following. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowd concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What did you go then out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please notice, although we're reading from verse 7 to 15, we will not cover all the verses this morning. Some of the verses we will skip, as you will realize in our preaching, and we will come back to that next week. But there are a few things that we need to mention in terms of John the Baptist. Church, there are two sides to every story. There is that right side and there is the wrong side. There is your perspective and my perspective. Last week, we saw John as a doubtful believer, because we looked at him from his own doubtful question which he posed about the Lord Jesus Christ. But church, there is another side of John the Baptist. There is another side in this story. As people, we can speak openly. We can speak our minds about people. We can point fingers. We can blame without careful consideration. That is why, church, not everything that people say about you or if people say about something, it is exactly as it is, or exactly as they are saying. Not everything that people say matters, but rest assured, what Jesus say about you matters the most. And that is what we're going to see this morning. Circumstances might have caused John to stumble. Circumstances must have caused John to be ignorant of that revealed truth we spoke about last week. Circumstances might have caused John to desire to hear something pleasing, as we mentioned last week. Circumstances might have caused John to be offended or to be put off by the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus could not fulfill John's false expectation of Jesus. But this morning, we see Jesus' own verdict about John the Baptist. How does Jesus know John the Baptist? Because that's what matters most. So as we read here, we realize that having sent back John's disciples to go send that message to John, Jesus then turns his attention, he turns his focus now to the crowd standing before him. He turns his focus to the crowd to teach the crowd, to teach them of the real John the Baptist, to remind them of the real John the Baptist. As you read your text, you realize that Jesus begins by a series of questions. It's asking questions why, to help the people understand what matters most. He says in verse number 7, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Continues in verse number 8. What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. And in verse number 9, he emphasized again the questions. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Church, what does this tell us? This tells us that the people also had wrong expectation of John the Baptist. They went out into the wilderness to see something great according to their own view of greatness. The people had wrong expectations about John the Baptist, and now they are about to have a wrong conclusion about John the Baptist because of John's question. And Jesus is here to correct the people's perspective on John the Baptist. Jesus is here to correct the people's perspectives on Christians, even though Christians may be going through difficult times, and difficult times cause them to doubt. So before us this morning then, we have three important truths which Jesus knows about John the Baptist, regardless of John's doubt. Three important truths. Firstly, John was more than a prophet. That's what Jesus is saying. John was more than a prophet. In verse number 9, Jesus begins to explain the true John the Baptist we are talking about. He brings his verdict about this John the Baptist. He says, you went out to see a prophet? So Jesus, in other words, in this question, is saying, yes, if that's what you did, you are correct. You went out to see a prophet, that is what you found. Because he says, yes, I tell you. In other words, I agree. John was a prophet. But he continues to say, and more than a prophet. Even though John was a prophet, like any other prophet, but he is more than a prophet. So John is not in that category which people expected him to be, just a normal prophet. He is more than a prophet. And that is what Jesus says about John. Jesus does not identify John as a doubtful believer, as we did last week. He identified John as man more than a prophet. What was a prophet? A prophet was a messenger of God. God will speak to a prophet giving a message for his church or for his people, if I put it that way, for a specific reason. So the prophet will hear from God and bring that message to the people. But as we speak of greatness or more than a prophet, this is very challenging. If you have been reading your Bible or study church history, you realize that actually the Old Testament recognizes, if you will, Moses as a great prophet. The Jewish history points to Moses. The people of Israel said Moses was a greater prophet. Moses was more than a prophet. He didn't just prophesy or speak the message of God. Moses rescued, if you will, the people of God from Egypt. So they consider him a more than a prophet. However, Jesus here tells the crowd that actually it is John who is more than a prophet. Church, the greatest blessing in life is to know or to hear what Jesus says about you as a believer. This is such a great blessing, to know what Jesus say or think of you. And of course, John the Baptist is in prison. He does not have the privilege of hearing these blessed words coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in prison. It's possible that Jesus is saying something good about a person, but the person is not hearing. But it does not exclude the fact that John is great. So this message is not for John. This message is not to comfort John. Don't worry, John, in prison. You are great. This message is to tell the crowd of this man they are about to look down on. This message is to bring the crowd into the right perspective on John. Because once they have the right understanding of John, they will have the right understanding of Christ. So Jesus is giving them this message that they may begin to look at him. But I think it was also good that John did not hear these words from the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we think he should have heard. But just imagine, people in trouble, they always want to hear what they want to hear. Jesus might have said, John, you are great. He tells John, okay, but I'm in prison. You see, he might miss the point that he's great because he's still expecting to be released physically from prison. So now he's not hearing these words. We are hearing these words. The people are hearing these words so that the people have a right perspective about John the believer. It is good for people to have the right perspective about you as a Christian. As a Christian, it does not only end up whereby you know that you are a Christian. It does not end up whereby you are happy that you are a Christian. You pray every day, you read the word of God, you behave the way it's supposed to be, you are obedient to God. It does not only help when you know about it. The crowd needs to know about it. And that is what is happening right now. The crowd is getting a full understanding of John the Baptist. Jesus says, John, who's now suffering in prison, suffering in doubt, is a greater prophet of God. What is Jesus doing? He set apart John from every prophet before him. This man is different. He's more than a prophet. Church, if you read the Bible, John is the only prophet which other prophets in the Bible spoke about. No prophet prophesied that there will be an Elijah. No prophet prophesied that there will be a Malachi or there will be a Moses. But Malachi and Isaiah prophet that there will be a John the Baptist. They didn't mention it by name, but the qualifications and the functions can be seen. John is the only prophet whom two prophets of the Old Testament points to him. They are saying he will come and he will pave the way of the Lord. In other words, he will come before the great God come. So John's greatness, or John's being more than a prophet, lies in the privilege that John had that is mentioned in verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. Verse 10 says, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. So John had the privilege of being the person who ushers in the Lord Jesus Christ by speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also by literal ushering in the Lord Jesus Christ, handing over, as it were, the responsibilities of the gospel to the Lord Jesus Christ. He must increase, I must decrease. I must be in prison so that his ministry is seen by the world, so that the people may forget about John the Baptist. John have his privilege in these words. He's a messenger who comes before the Lord. So we realize here that to be great, church, does not always mean to have status. To be great in this world does not mean you must have a desirable status. People must desire to be like you, then you are great. Who is desiring to be like John, who is in prison right now? Nobody. But John is identified as someone more than a prophet. So Jesus reminds this crowd that no one has ever clothed himself with that courage that is seen in John the Baptist's preaching. No one ever lived is clothed with that boldness which is seen in John the Baptist as he approached people who could not be told that they were sinners. John was the first one to tell people who could not be told that they were sinners that they were. He confronted the Pharisees and the Sadducees. People were trusted. People were religious. People went through rituals. People who called unto the name of God. But he says, repent. You repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So Jesus says, no one has ever met this qualification. So regardless of John's weakness, which can overcome any person in this life, the crowd will not go home without hearing the truth. The crowd will not hear something negative about John from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because even right now, church, before the throne of God above, Jesus Christ continues to say good and true testimony about the believers. That is why it is important to be rather known by Jesus than to be known by the crowd. Because only Christ can speak what is true about you. He does not lie. He speaks the truth at all times. But you can also see here that Jesus actually knew how to deal with people. He knew how to get people's attention, if you will. Jesus is using the word prophet to John purposely. Did you go to see a prophet? Yes, you did. Why? It's like today, not in our church, but today in the other churches, if you go and say, I'm an apostle, you can see the ears going up like the ears of rabbits. Now a real man of God is here. Because they respect the word apostle. So Jesus is using that word prophet to bring more respect to John, because people at that time respected prophet, and the prophets of the time, they were true prophets, unlike today's prophets. So Jesus is saying, you went to see a prophet. Indeed, John was a prophet. So Jesus is bringing another angle of saying John is an important man. But also, he's using that word because it is the fact that for 400 years, God was silent. For 400 years, God had not spoken by a prophet to his people. For 400 years, God was quiet. There was no message from heaven. And the people were eagerly waiting for a prophet to come. Because he said in Malachi, chapter number 3, he will send a prophet that will speak to them. And after that prophet, God himself will come to his temple. We'll read that a little bit later. So now the people were eagerly expecting this prophet that will come. But they were not seeing the prophet that they wanted to see in John the Baptist. Because John was living in the wilderness, not in the palace like the prophets of today. John was wearing camel clothes, not Nike and Pumas like the prophets of today. John looked a little bit miserable, if you will. John was looked down upon. So they didn't think he was that prophet. So Jesus is actually helping the people to realize that John is the one who was to come. Because no one, church, if you read the Bible, has been called to a higher and a greater calling than that of John the Baptist. He was a prophet, but it was prophesied about him too. No other prophet came to that level. That's what Jesus is saying in verse number 10, that this is whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger. Not only did John announce the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ like every other prophet, because most prophets did that, but church, John ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ. John served the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only prophet that spoke about Jesus, but also ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ. John baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke of him. Among you stands the one you do not know. That was John's message. It was clear. So Jesus is telling the crowd then, he is making it clear to the crowd that the crowd should not undermine John the Baptist. We also should not, if I may bring it home, undermine another Christian, undermine yourself, if you will. If you're going through difficult time and then you identify yourself with the situation where you are at the time. No, they must not undermine John the Baptist. But instead, they need to remember the message of John the Baptist. What was the message? Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. His message was to turn sinners back to God like every other prophet. But his function was a little bit different, was to identify the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus is saying, instead of trying to find fault with John, try to find his message. Have you heard his message? Before you conclude wrong, remember when he said repent, have you repented? Because that's what matters most about John. Have you followed the one in whom John pointed to? That is what Jesus is on about. I love Jesus. I love him. He reveals John to the people in a desirable way, regardless of his weakness. You see, we as people like to identify other people with their weaknesses.
Uyamkhumbula lo mama lo oneliso elimele kancane. Uyamkhumbula lo baba lo mama uhamba ngathi unesandla lo ngathi uyakhuga kancane. So
yeah, that's what we do. Remember that one. We identify people with their weaknesses.
You remember that guy who, the one who speaks but he's not clear. You remember that guy.
Jesus is not doing that. Jesus is bringing John in a desirable way to the people. That is Jesus. That is why I love Jesus. Jesus says John's character and function is more important than how John looked like. That is what set John apart. John was not an unstable Christian. John was not a liar like the people of today or the prophets of today. If you look at verse number 7, look at verse 7. It says, did you go to the wilderness to see a reed swayed by the wind? In other words, did you go to find someone who's not stable? That's not what you found. You went to the wilderness to find someone who's got faults. That is what this is about. That's not what you went and found. You found a man who stands for God. Regardless his weakness, he stood for God. John was a faithful prophet. His message was not watered down like our messages today. His message was true and straight on. His message brought Christ to the center. His message pointed people to God. He didn't preach a watered down message to gain popularity. He didn't preach a watered down message to gain money and personal prestige, if you will. John lived in the wilderness, like Jesus says, not in king's palaces. John was a different man. The people went to see someone of great status of that way, someone who will live in king's palace, but they find someone who lives in a desert. What does that tell you? They find a humble person. That's how Jesus knew John the Baptist. So the fact that John church doubted does not disqualify John of such a status that Jesus is giving to the world. The fact that John had weaknesses, it does not disqualify him of being a great believer or more than a prophet. And in the same way, the fact that you also have doubts in your life, sometimes it does not identify you with unbelievers. I've mentioned that yesterday. Great Christians do doubt. How you deal with the doubt, that's what matters. You can listen to last week's message. But having a doubt does not qualify you to be an unbeliever. That is why, church, it is also and always good to consider the people's whole life before we judge. Look at the past, look at the present, anticipate the future. Because John's past is glorious, and John's future is glorious. The present might be dark, but the past and the future is glorious. John is not in prison because he is less or because he is minor prophet in those ways. John is in prison for the gospel. So before people could say he must just save himself like he saved others, or let him continue to preach the gospel and let's see how the gospel save him. Before you say that is what Jesus says. Before you even go to think about that, the question is, did you believe his message? You are busy pointing fingers. Have you believed the message of John the Baptist? Have you immersed your heart in that truthful message of the kingdom of heaven? Or you are only pleased by pointing fingers to people's suffering and people's tears? And here's a warning, church. Do not always talk about people's failures and forget their good work. That is what you need to get out of this. John was more than a prophet. He preached and he served Jesus physically. Secondly, John was greater than all men born of women. That's including you. John was greater than all men born of women. Verse number 11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. We'll look at that little bit next week. The part that says, yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What is important now, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is risen no one greater than John. What is Jesus doing? Jesus continues to reveal the real John. He says, there is no greater person ever lived except Jesus, who is greater than John the Baptist. No human being is greater than John the Baptist. So just before the people could perhaps think that in human perspective, in human values, in human status, before they think that in those ways, some of them are greater than John, because it's easy to look and say, I'm better than John, or I'm better than that Christian. Before they even think of those things, Jesus is bringing a correction. You may have whatever you have right now. You may not be in prison like John right now. You may be listening to this great message I'm telling you about John right now. You're looking at me expecting healing right now. But none of you is greater than John the Baptist. That is what Jesus is saying. But you know, people love to be great. People love status. People love to be known as those who are better than others. They like to think high of themselves. Especially once you go through some temporal suffering in your life, people think they are better than you. Lose your car, you will see how people think they are better than you. Or be a person who does not have a car. Look at those who drive cars, how they think of you. I'm not saying in the churches, I'm talking natural out there. People love to think they are better than others. They like to look at what kind of a job are you doing. If you're not doing the job as close as my job in status, I'm better than you. That's what people think. And Jesus is correcting that. That's not what makes people great. It is actually humility that what makes people great. John humbled himself. Humility, trusting in God, believing the gospel makes people greater than others. Last Sunday after church, I read a piece of a story about an American man who wanted to show his greatness. And I was so happy, because that's what I want to bring before you. People like to act greater than others. The story that I read, it says, an American man, he walked into a restaurant in London. So he's not in his own country. He walks into a restaurant in London. There in that restaurant, he noticed at the corner, there an African man is sitting in that corner, minding his own business. Then the man removed his big wallet and he counted the numbers of the people in the restaurant. There was a lot of people. Then he shouted, "Waiter, I want to buy food for each and every one of these people except that African over there." Okay? Then the waiter served the people, they placed their orders, served the people. As they put the people ate, the African said, "Thank you." Then the American looked and said, "But how is he saying thank you, but he was not saved? Let me prove to him that I'm better." He bought desserts, expensive desserts, for everyone except him. When they ate the dessert, he said, "Thank you." Then he said, "No, I'm going to buy expensive drinks in this restaurant for this crowd except the African man." He bought those expensive drinks. The African man said, "Thank you." This man was so angry, so furious, he went to the waiter. "Waiter, what's wrong with that man? Instead of being angry because I'm mistreating him like that, I'm showing my greatness to my people, he's so happy. What is he joyful about?" Then the waiter said to him, "Sir, the African man owns this restaurant." In other words, trying to show your greatness, you actually reveal the greatness of that humble man sitting there. Humbleness brings greatness, not status. And that is what Jesus is bringing to the people. So church, it is important how we respond in difficult circumstances that we are facing. Yet greatness should come out of the inner person that you are. The fact that the man was sitting at the corner did not show greatness. But what came from within him, that's what showed greatness. Humbleness. That is what John is. He has proven himself to God to be a humble man. He did not have to win the crowd to himself versus Jesus before he became greater than man, any man ever born in this world. The American man wanted to win the crowd to himself so that he is greater than the African. That was not with John the Baptist. I don't know how it is with you. John's character, John's faith proved him to be a man greater than all born of women. So it was John's work, church. It was John's life which revealed that God sent him. It is man's life and man's faith that reveals the greatness of man. John was great because of his character. So our work and our life must testify of God's goodness. Our work and our life must not testify of our own goodness. That is not who John was. I think we must also learn something from Jesus' statement here about John. John's greatness did not, listen, John's greatness did not disqualify John for hardship. Because sometimes we think that the fact that I am a great Christian, I am a great believer, I have great faith, now disqualify you for hardship. John's greatness did not disqualify him for hardship. As great a man as he was, John still needed the grace of God. We need the grace of God. As great man that John was, John still needed to hear the word of God that comes from the mouth of God. Greatness is in the word of God. Only the word of God will make us great people. What God says about himself and us, what we believe. But again, I want you to see John as a great example of the Christians that we want to be even today. John is actually one of those Christians we want to see in our community, in our generation. He was humble. He had that humble spirit, as I was saying. Was that not what Matthew 5 verse 3 said? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they shall see the kingdom of God. John was humble, therefore he shall see the kingdom of God. Not only was John humble, but John mourned for sinners. John cried out for sinners. Just as Matthew chapter number 5 verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So he didn't cry too much about himself in his life. He cried for the sins of others. Do we? Because such persons who cry in that way, they will be comforted. Not only was John in that way, but John was longing for righteousness. And he suffered for righteousness. That is why John finds himself in prison. Matthew 5 verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That is what John did. Persecution for righteousness' sake. He preached the gospel. He was a peacemaker, in other words, between God and man. Matthew 5 verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So John is the son of God. Regardless of what the crowd is tempted to think of John the Baptist. So church, we are reminded yet again that God has a purpose for each and every one of us, regardless of how the crowd look at us. And Christ corrects the crowd according to our faith. Christ is the one who makes the crowd understand in fully. Another person I was reading wrote and said, don't let what you don't understand confuse you. So sometimes when you're in a situation, you don't understand why you are there. But don't let that confuse you. But also as a crowd, if you don't understand, why is another Christian going through that way, don't let that confuse you. Only God has the answers for everything. Ours is to look up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our purpose must always be to allow God's way in our lives. We might have many questions, only God can answer those questions. So to say John was greater than any man born of a woman. It's because John spoke of this coming Jesus and he saw him. That's another point. He spoke of him, he saw him. None other prophet of the past spoke of Jesus and saw Jesus. Only John spoke of him and saw him. He baptized Jesus, as I mentioned. But please take note of what I want to say now. This is the greatest man ever lived. He baptized Jesus. This is Jesus getting baptized. But as he baptized Jesus, John heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son." So he heard God in heaven. And as he heard God in heaven baptizing Jesus, the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and landed upon Jesus. John saw the Spirit. John experienced the triune God that we always speak about. None before has ever experienced that. And none, even today. Hear the voice of God, that there is God in heaven. See the Son of God, literal, and the Spirit of God. That makes John the greatest man ever lived. So have respect of John, regardless of what John is going through. John experienced the greatest thing a Christian can experience, the triune God, the real God. He have testimony of the good God, regardless his failures and weakness. Are you having a testimony of the real God, or a God of your own imagination? Thirdly, John the Baptist is Elijah. That is what Jesus is saying. That's also important to consider. John the Baptist is Elijah. Verse number 14. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. So Jesus here is challenging the people to accept that John the Baptist is the one who was to come in the spirit of Elijah. He wants the people to understand that. He wants the people to realize that God has actually fulfilled what he has promised. Let's turn together, church. Just back the book before Matthew is Malachi. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Because Jesus is trying to help the people to understand Jesus. As I was saying before, you misunderstand John, you misunderstand Jesus. He wants the people to understand Jesus. Once they identify John, they will be able to identify Jesus. Malachi chapter number 3. Because I'm telling you, church, if John is Elijah, then Jesus is Messiah. That is the message that people were supposed to get. Because God had promised, that's what I want us to read, God had promised things to go in that way. One will follow the other. Malachi 3 verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord. Two things you see there. A messenger coming before the Lord, and the Lord himself who is speaking in this verse. The Lord is speaking in Malachi. Through Malachi, he says, the Lord himself will come. The Lord whom you are seeking will come to his temple. Jesus is pointing this fact about John, saying John is Elijah, so that the people can see the true Jesus as well. Because that is what the people needed to know. A messenger has arrived. Once they miss that part, that the messenger has arrived, which was John, they will miss the fact that the Lord also has come to his temple. But here's the question. If Jesus saying John is Elijah, is Jesus saying Elijah resurrected? Because we know that Elijah had died many, many and hundred years before time. Is that what Jesus is saying? Elijah has resurrected? Not at all. Because we know, church, that John the Baptist was born from Elizabeth. Someone to resurrect somebody must be put on a grave and come out of the grave. John is not from the graves, but from a womb. So Jesus is not then saying that John is Elijah literally. But some people are teaching a teaching called reincarnation. It's a stupid teaching taught by the Hindus and the Buddhas. What are they saying? If you die, your spirit gets out of your body and it moves to find another body. That's in context, that's what they're teaching. So when a child is born, the person who died somewhere, perhaps the spirit, then it lands on that child. But they say sometimes if you are evil, your spirit may go to a snake. Your spirit may go to a lion because you are an evil person. Then you get purged by that circumstance so that when you come back again, you might be a good person. Okay, that is stupid. We all know it. That is dumb. It cannot be. God created two people. And then the two people got children, Cain and Abel. Nobody died for Cain to be there. Because if the spirit of one gets to another before there's someone, where did Cain come from then? There was nobody dead. So we understand. But also the Bible is clear. Elijah did not die, church. Elijah was taken to heaven. But the point I'm trying to make here is that Jesus is not teaching that John resurrected. There is something else that Jesus is teaching here. Jesus is saying the scripture has been fulfilled. That is the message. The one who is coming in the spirit of Elijah. In other words, the one who's going to come to resemble, to act like the Elijah of the old is here. He's not real Elijah, but he acts like Elijah. He does not even look like Elijah. He doesn't speak like Elijah. He doesn't behave like Elijah. But he comes with the message which Elijah had in the beginning. So John the Baptist is the New Testament prophet who points to the Lord, just like Elijah, the Old Testament prophet, pointed to the Lord. That is what this is about. Actually, when you read the book of Matthew, you realize that John himself said, "I am not Elijah." In other words, John was not denying the fact that Jesus says is Elijah, but he's denying the fact that people think he's a literal Elijah. You don't need a literal person to be identified with that person before you become great. That's the point that I want to bring after this. But people of the old, or the Christian of the old, can be our example that we look unto today as Christians. And I'll bring that just now. But I want to correct another thing with Elijah. Elijah did not die. He was taken to heaven. But how did he go to heaven? This is outside the preaching, but I want to bring it because people are confused. Elijah was not taken to heaven with a chariot of fire. No. That's why the song that say, "Jalo kakoloi efufang," is not correct. That's why in our church that stanza is not there, because that's not true. He did not go to heaven with a chariot of fire. The Bible says in the book of Kings, chapter number 2, verse number 11, the chariot of fire came from heaven and separated Elijah and Elisha. Izivungu vungu took Elijah to heaven. I'll be there. It was not koloi efufang that took Elijah to heaven. Right? It was the windmill that took Elijah to heaven. So we get that correct right now. Let's get back to our teaching then. So church, what is important here? Elijah did not resurrect. Elijah did not reincarnate. John the Baptist is not a literal Elijah, but John the Baptist is personifying Elijah, because Elijah was the man of God of the past. So without going through some difficult doctrines that people argue about out there, let us make it clear. The point we're trying to bring here, for us to learn here, regardless of how the people understood them, they can be believers of the past that we look unto. The question is, are we going to be believers of the past ourselves that the future believers will look unto? Are we going to be the Elijahs of other people once we pass on from this life? When does that start? It starts today. Today, you prepare yourself to be the great believer so that the people of the future points back to you. So the question is, is it possible for us to be great believers? Yes, it is. Doesn't mean we're going to personify 100% those people of the past, but we need to be governed by the very same principle that governed the people of the past, the very same principle that governed John as Elijah. Number one, you must study God's word for yourselves, for yourself. All the great people of the past studied God's word. And it's a very encouragement that God himself told Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. So you must be careful how to do my words. We must be careful of what is written to this book. We need the word of God to make us the greatest Christians, or to be those who will be pointed unto. Remember that great Christian, people of the future, pointing. It is the word of God that makes us great. Another scripture is asking a question. How can a young man keep his way pure? And the scripture answered, by guiding it according to your word, O God. The very same Psalm 119, later on in 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We need the word of God to lighten up our path, but also so that other people may point that we were the greatest. We want the township of Olivet to know us as great Christians as well. Secondly, to be a great Christian, you need to be a prayerful Christian. And I'm glad that next week we're starting our prayer meeting outside. That is what John did. John was a prayerful Christian. And Elijah was a prayerful man. John even taught his disciples how to pray. And the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ saw and went to Jesus running and said, teach us how to pray like John teaches his disciples. John was a man of prayer. He may not be found praying in prison when he's in trouble, but he knew prayer. Let prayer not depart from your lips and from your heart and from your mind. You must depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. John depended on the power of the Holy Spirit, so was Elijah. We must depend today on the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's a nice point that I like. Do not neglect the coming together of believers. You need to attend church regularly, in other words, to be the great Christian. To be a person whom everybody will point unto. I want to be like that mother. I want to be like that father. Do not neglect the coming together of Christians. Christians need each other. Christians need each other to be great believers. Christians need each other to be great worshippers of God. You cannot worship God great than when you worship with others. I'm not saying you cannot worship God alone, but you cannot worship him great than the way you worship him when you are with others. Serve one another in love. That's what makes great Christians. People are remembered with the way they serve. There are Christians who are known because they saved the church. Remember that man who served well in the church. Serve each other with love. That's why Jesus says somewhere else, the greatest among you will be the one who becomes a servant of another. What makes the Christian great, or that other people will point to him as John is Elijah? Be a witnessing believer. John witnessed about the Lord Jesus Christ. Elijah witnessed about the Lord Jesus Christ. John preached the message of repentance. Elijah preached the message of repentance. Be a witnessing believer. Be obedient. Another point. Be an obedient believer. John was obedient to the call he was called. That's why he was able to say, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. Elijah was also obedient to his call. He was told, we spoke about this thing later last year. He was told to go find another man and anoint him to make a prophet after him. He was obedient. He found Elisha and made Elisha a prophet so that he stepped back. Be an obedient Christian. Build each other up for the kingdom of God. Let us not destroy one another. Learn how to deal with temptations. Remember, Elijah and John failed in this way. Elijah, we find him in a cave crying, scared of Jezebel. Here is John in prison, scared of Jezebel.
scared,
also in doubt. But we have Jesus who strengthens us and show us the way. So let us learn to deal with temptations and doubts. Live above your circumstances. How to live above your circumstances? Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't let your circumstances get you down, but let Christ lift you up when you are there. Let me give you, in conclusion, a few applications from the text. What I was saying was from point three. Now I'm giving you just a few things from the text. Regardless your temporal humiliation or regardless your hardship of life, continue to be what Jesus says you are. Jesus is telling the crowd that you are great. But if you don't show the crowd that Jesus is true, then the crowd thinks Jesus is a liar. You get my point? Continue to be what Jesus says you must be. What is he saying? A great believer. Regardless of the temptations and the doubts and the circumstances, be the great believer. One who holds on to that rope, as it were, of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, I will not let go until you bless me. Do not let the crowd define you, but Jesus must define you. That is why Jesus is correcting the crowd. How do we let the crowd define us? Because we don't live according to what we say we are. We live according, in contrary, and then the crowd define us that. They say, oh, that is what he is. So don't let the crowd define you, but Jesus define you. And Jesus can only define you if you hold on to your faith. Do not let your own sin or your doubt also define you, but Jesus must define you. Do not think that greatness is what you do for personal glory. That is the gospel of today. For me to be great, I must do something for personal glory. No, greatness is what you do for the glory of God. And that is what John the Baptist did. Church, you can also be identified with the believers of old if you hold on to the truth of God. So here is the summary of the message. John was not a coward. That is what Jesus is saying. His faith might have failed him, but Jesus did not fail him. Jesus continued to have a good and trustworthy testimony about John. Jesus continues also to have a good and trustworthy testimony about us today. The Bible says he sits on the right hand of God, and he speaks good about us. Whenever we do wrong, he prayed for us because he's got a great testimony about us. How does he have the great testimony about us? Not because we have believed. That is good also. But because he died for us. And he knows that his death is all that is necessary. And I pray then that we also will see him whom we're speaking about. Because John the Baptist saw him that he spoke about. May we also see him that we speak about. May we hear those words, good, faithful servant, enter into the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The good Lord bless us all. Amen.